Welcome to another broadcast feature here on Real Prospector. Today, we'll open with Robert Palmer, founder and president of the Robert Palmer family of companies, then our featured guest, Kristen Cremonese. Kristen is an agent for Century 21 Choice Properties, relatively new to real estate as a career, but since her father was a realtor, she really knows the business. Now, Kristen is specializing in downtown areas and, most importantly, getting millennials involved in buying real estate. But first, let's join Robert Palmer at a recent seminar. I was lucky enough to be there, and Robert was talking to real estate agents about truly building a great client base. Let's check it out.
Next up, events and open house marketing. All right, secret number one, we do this to build our database, right? We're not out there trying to sell a house. We're not out there trying to get a listing. If you are sitting in an open house, if you are attending an event, you are doing it to build your database. So back to the beginning, if you don't market to that database, you're wasting your time. All right, but if you have good methods in place to stay in touch with your database, open houses and events are a great way to do it. Secret number two, you have to market your event and your attendance at other people's events, right? Get out there and tell people about these events. If I was having an open house, I would go door knock the entire neighborhood and tell them, hey guys, I'm having an open house. Come see me at it, right? If I was going to an HOA meeting, I would do the same thing, right? Think about this. We all have HOA meetings in our neighborhoods. Most of us miss the meeting because we forget about it. They put one stupid sign out in the front and you drive by it and forget about the meeting. If you go door to door with a flyer, hey, just letting you know the HOA meeting's on Friday. Here's a flyer with the details. I'll be there. I'll see you there. They're going to think you're the HOA president, right? You know, and the HOA is going to be happy because they're going to have higher attendance. But you can market other people's events to help build yourself and build your own credibility. And then two, you make that nice HOA meeting flyer, put your contact information, a little ad for yourself at the bottom. It's less likely to get thrown away. People want to attend those meetings. They may pin it up on their refrigerator. They may stick it in their drawer. It's got your contact information on it. You got to meet them face to face. And then they're going to see you again there and already know you. Because we all do this. We walk into an HOA meeting for the first time or any type of environment, and we look for anybody we know, right? Do I know anybody here? And in today's world, because we're also busy texting and Facebooking, we don't necessarily know our neighbors. But if you were at my house 3 days ago, let me know about the meeting, and I remember your name, got your name tag on, they're going to come over and talk to you. You're going to have people wanting to come talk to you and strike up conversations, and these are your future clients, right? You got to make them feel like you're everywhere. All right, secret number three, try a survey to win offer. This is something big at open houses. Give them a survey, right? Ask them to fill it out. If they fill it out, they can win something. People love surveys. It's why I gave all of you a survey today, right? A survey is a great way to build your database. If you just come out and say, hey, can I get your name and email address and phone number since you attended my open house? No, I don't want to be sold anything. I don't want to be called. No, please, no, I'm never selling my house. I'm never buying a house. I'm just here because I'm curious, right? These red flags go up inside of us. We do not want to be sold. But if you say, hey, you know what? I'm doing a neighborhood survey. I sell a lot of homes in this neighborhood, and I want to have good information for my future clients. Would you mind filling out a brief neighborhood survey for me? Oh, and by the way, there's a chance to win a $100 Publix gift card, right? So the survey starts off and they're filling it out. Those guards are down a little bit because one, they think, well, why are they asking me for my name, phone number, and email address? Oh, well, they have to contact me to tell me I won. It makes sense. There's continuity there. You're not just asking for their information. There's a reason. I can't give you your gift card unless you give me your name and phone number and address, right? So that makes sense to them. Then your survey questions. You got to kind of start off light. How do you feel about neighborhood values in the area? You know, what are your favorite things about this neighborhood? What are your least favorite things about this neighborhood? And then later on down toward the bottom, you can get into how likely are you to sell your home in the next 12 months, right? Super valuable piece of information. How many of you would love to have someone's name, phone number, email address that is planning on selling their home in the next 12 months who you have met face to face at an open house? That's powerful. They're more likely to be honest with you about the want to sell their house and to give you their contact information if they don't feel like it's salesy. And so what we do is we start with those you know, easier questions. And mentally, they're going to get in there and say, oh, this survey might be a trick because a lot of online marketers have abused the whole survey thing. So is this survey a trick? Well, question number one, what are my favorite things about my neighborhood? Well, that's harmless, right? They're not going to try to sell me anything based on that answer. I knew this was a good guy. This sounds good. And then they commit to it a little bit. And the next question, how do you feel home values are doing in your neighborhood? All right, they're probably not going to be able to sell me anything based on that answer. I was right before. This is a good guy. I can complete this survey. So by the time they get down to question 4, 5, 6, the walls are down. They feel good about it. They're going to answer you honestly on how likely they are to sell their home in the next 12 months or buy a new home in the next 12 months. And now this is powerful because we're going to go back and put it in our database. right? And this is the kind of data you need. These are the leads you really, really want, all right? Next up, classified ads. Again, the point of classified ads is to build your database, okay? You've got to give something to get something. We're gonna talk about this a whole lot. What are some things you can give away in a classified ad? This could be Craigslist. This could be an Orlando Sentinel ad. This could be whatever you want it to be. But you want to give away things like your free website, you know, home valuation. And you may joke, all websites are free, right? Well, some people have this idea, oh, maybe they're going to get me to sign up for something. They're going to want to charge me to join and get this information. So you put in there that you have a free website with a neighborhood report. Or call me to get your free neighborhood report. Call me to get your free monthly updates on home values in your area. Give something to get something. The point is not to sell them. The point is to get them in our database, to start marketing to them, to start getting comfortable with them and them comfortable with us. All right? So we're going to drive people there using classified ads. All right? And then search engine optimization. Now, guys, you have lost the war in search engine optimization for Orlando homes for sale. It's gone. Zillow and Trulia, they have dominated at Realtor.com. It's lost. The war you can still win is for your name. And I see too many agents who do not pay attention to this. All right, think about this. Whenever we meet somebody new, we Google our kids' future girlfriends, boyfriends. We Google our own, you know, future girlfriends, boyfriends. We Google random people all the time. How many of you have Googled yourself? All right, this is something I had to call your Google stack. It's your first 10 rankings. If you meet anybody, before your sister-in-law will list her house with you, she's gonna Google your name. It's natural, it's gonna happen, trust me. And so if what she sees, number one, is Zillow, and she clicks on it, it's gonna show her three other Zillow agents, right? This is not what we want. You wanna control that. You want it to be your name. You want it to be a page on your broker site. You know, you want it to be domains, websites that you control. Your Facebook page, your LinkedIn page, your Twitter page. You want things where you control the content and you control the message to fill up that entire first 10. If you Google RP funding, you're gonna see an article about us on Orlando Business Journal. You're gonna see my site. You're gonna see the Better Business Bureau. It's all things that we want you to see. And so when we do the deep dive seminars on internet marketing, we show you how to control and how to push certain pages up higher in those rankings. And it all just has to do with how you link your own sites to each other and how you put keywords and phrases on there, but controlling your own name is huge because trust me, Zillow and these guys know it. A great way to steal leads from you, they're already stealing leads from you using your listings. The next phase is they want to steal leads from you using your own name. And this is something you can win because they'll spend millions to rank number one for Orlando Homes for Sale. They're not going to spend millions to rank for Robert Palmer. It's not going to happen. This is where you can draw a line in the sand and you can take back some control. So that's an important part of internet marketing. All right, referral sources, all right? Secret number one, market to them. People look at me like I'm crazy when I say this. Why would I market to my referral sources? They're already sending me business because they can send you more business, all right? You have to make sure that people who you love and know and are in your database and who refer to you, one, that you stay top of mind. Two, they know exactly what you do because you may think they know and they don't. I had an aunt recently. She bought a new house and she calls me and says, hey Robert, I know you do something in the mortgage business. Can you take a look at my good faith from Wells Fargo and tell me if I'm getting a good deal? I'm closing in a week. She knew I did something in the mortgage business. Apparently didn't know that meant mortgages, right? Because I wasn't clear about it. Maybe for you guys, maybe they think you only deal with buyers or maybe you only deal with sellers or maybe will you deal with property management? You know, people have to understand this, but you've got to educate them in a conversational way. You know, don't market to them. Have a conversation with them. But make sure you stay top of mind. Make sure they know who you are. So you've got to have a plan to do this. Phone call, stop by, thank you card. You've got to stay on top of your referral sources. In our society, a phone call is infinitely more important than a text, an email, or anything else, right? If you have, when your firstborn child is born, you don't send a text message off, hey mom, just had a kid, right? You're gonna pick up the phone. They will hate you for life if you do that, right? Or if something really tragic happens, you know, maybe the loss of a loved one, you're not gonna send out a group text about that. You're gonna pick up the phone and call. And so we see phone calls as being more valuable. So I would encourage all of you to make regular phone conversation with your referral sources. Secret number two is give them a reason to refer to you. All right, so what does this mean? Obviously, we can't give them anything. That violates RESPA. We can't have kickbacks in our business. But you can give something to the person they're referring. All right, so what we like to do is we make a little coupon. And it says, because you're a friend of blank, I'm going to give you $250 off a home inspection, for an example, right? So they write their name in there. You write the name, and you take 10 cards, you print them out, and they say, because you're a friend of Mary, I'm going to give you a free home inspection or $250 off a home inspection, whatever it is. And you give these 10 cards to Mary. And you say, you know what, Mary? I appreciate you. You're a great partner for me. And here, I want to give you these coupons that you can now give to your friends. And just for being a friend of Mary, they're going to save money. This does two things. One, everybody likes to share deals. Mary now gets to feel special. Mary gets to say, hey, guess what? Because you're my friend, you're going to save $250. I'm that important. Here's the card, right? Number two, when those cards come back in, you know Mary's out there and she's your biggest fan. And if 10 cards come back in with Mary's name on them, take Mary to Ruth Chris. Heck, buy Mary her real estate license and put her on your team, right? I mean, if she's generating 10 deals a year, but you don't know. Because our referral sources, the people don't always say, oh, hey, I'm calling you because I'm a friend of Mary. You don't know. You don't know where that business is coming from. So by a simple giveaway, you encourage them to refer more, and you encourage the person to tell you who referred them because they got to turn the coupon into you. And now you can put some tracking in place. And you can make sure you refill Mary's coupons when all 10 come in because she's doing a great job out there for you. All right, this knowledge is powerful. This knowledge is worth the little giveaway. Right, we all make big commission checks. Giving away a little something at the table doesn't cost you up front, and you had no marketing cost in that. Mary was your marketer. She got zero, but the referral got something which made Mary feel special. All right, so I want you all to think about that.
Thank you so much, Robert Palmer. And again, you're listening to the best that you can possibly get right here on Real Prospector. Kristen Cremonese is with us today. She is an agent for Century 21 Choice Properties. Now, you've only been in the business some 2 months.
Correct.
But as I read your bio, there's been real estate in your family.
Correct. Yes, that's true. My dad, I think for pretty much most of his professional career, has been in real estate, both on the actual real estate side and then in business consulting. So I've been around it since I was born.
So how exposed to real estate were you? I mean, did you actually get to ride with your dad sometimes and maybe go to the office with your dad sometimes?
Sure. I've been to the office. I can remember going to open houses. I can remember him and my mom always talking about it. I remember when I was 13, for my 13th birthday, he took me out to Las Vegas for a convention that was going on out there. And I got to just walk the floor while I was out there. That was entertaining to me. So that kind of exposure was cool.
Now, as I understand it, something very cool happened at that convention. As a youngster, you were going around, as most of us did, when we went to something like our mom or dad's conventions. We were the one with the bag going around seeing how many pens, fly swatters, whatever we could get to take home,
exactly.
Right? We had everything. We had rulers. I mean, it was like a back-to-school special. But anyway, you had a very interesting experience with a national celebrity.
That's right. I remember I was walking around on the floor trying to get my freebies, and what felt like out of nowhere, Richard Simmons came up to me with a whole camera crew, and he had tons of energy. He was wearing a tank top, his signature tank top with the Century 21 logo sequined on, and he came up to me and he had all kinds of questions, and one of his questions I remember was, so when are you going to become a realtor? And gave me a big wet kiss on the cheek and then ran off to the next person.
That didn't incite you to go into real estate really quick, though,
no,
did it?
No. Took a little while.
So you go through school, you had an exposure to real estate, but you didn't go into real estate at first. What was your first professional career?
No, initially I worked in local government for a while. Really enjoyed that. That was very rewarding. And that's what, you know, I'd gone to college, so I was doing that. I was really determined to seek out a path through my college degree. Originally, I was in psychology, and then I went back to school for communications and ended up doing copy editing through that. And that's what I had been doing recently before transitioning into becoming a realtor.
So did you go back and talk to your folks about real estate or any of your of their peers or people that you knew from the industry before you made the change?
Yes. I mean, my dad has been hounding me for years to get my license. He's always been encouraging. A very good friend of mine, very close friend of mine, got her license about 2.5 years ago. And her mother has also been in the industry her whole life. And they were both very encouraging, and seeing my friend doing so well and really enjoying what she was doing was a big push for me.
One of the things that intrigues me is that you're very much the millennial, okay? And you've opened up, you're specializing in first-time homebuyers.
Mm-hmm.
But the big disconnect that we find right now in real estate, in the mortgage world and everything else, is kind of a reluctance by a majority of millennials to even think about buying a home.
Well, what I've found so far is not even the lack of desire, but just the lack of ability. A lot of people my age not being able to get jobs right out of college, struggling or being underemployed, having a lot of loan debt, so they just can't even qualify to buy a home even if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But being a little bit older, I'm going to be 30. The job market has improved. I'm finding now a lot of people in my network are looking to buy. They're finally in a position where they can and they want to, and they see that it's a good opportunity to do it.
So they think they can balance their budget even concerning the student loan crisis.
Yes. Yes.
And what is starting to entice them about ownership? Is it a financial, or is it more of a, I need a steady place?
I think they're tired. My interaction has been they're tired of paying rent for what they could be putting towards a mortgage for even less of a monthly payment.
How do we broaden that scope? How do we let more and more millennials know the advantages of owning a home?
Well, I'm trying to do my best. I'm trying to let everybody that I know that I come in contact with how many programs there are out there for first-time home buyers, and how many, so as far as down payment assistance, as well as tax credits, once you've purchased your first home, just letting them know there's a lot of help out there and you're not necessarily responsible for that full amount of 20% down,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Where would a person normally go, the average millennial, so to speak, where would they go to get the information on, you know, how do they get a loan? How would they shop for a house? I mean, we do so much of that here in this company, mm-hmm. but where are they looking for that type of information?
I think what I've seen, you know, I'm still new, but what I've seen is they're going to a lot of, you know, they're just Googling. I mean, I know it sounds basic, but they're going online and Googling and trying to go through government websites. From what I've seen, that's what they're looking towards. And then asking friends who have recently bought homes, well, you know, what kind of assistance did you get? Looking to their parents to see who, you know, what kind of assistance they could get.
So how are you pioneering your lead generation? Are you using the social networks, your circle of friends, people? Because you've had a variety of experiences, college friends, people in the different masters that you went into, and then the family friends that your family might have, second generation, third generation. So are you kind of spearing all of those people into your Facebook life?
Yes, I have tried. For the most part, all of my connections are on Facebook. So I try to keep them engaged through my Facebook page, my realtor page, as well as email, and even getting together for coffee or, you know, lunch. And then I found a lot of people have been happy to invite their friends and their colleagues to mm-hmm. like my page as a way. But yeah, I think that social media so far, as in my experience, has been the best way to get your.
Let's talk about your brand. What would you explain to somebody as your brand, and why is it so important for you to expand on that?
You really, you know, the market, especially in the area where I'm looking to work, downtown Orlando, is so saturated. So you really need to do something that sets you apart and shows that you're a go-getter, shows that you're knowledgeable, shows that you're not just there for yourself, and that you're available.
So if we're looking at millennials, I think I just picked up on something I didn't know. Are millennials more inclined to be in a situation like in a downtown Orlando where they got the clubs, they got Lake Eola, they've got passageways to just about anywhere in and out, but they don't have to mess with the huge lawn and the suburbs and the commute. Mm-hmm. Am I onto something here?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's ideal. People want to live in an area where everything is so conveniently located, even with families, even friends of mine who are my age who have a child or two. They're wanting to stay as close to the downtown or the surrounding area. They don't want to be out necessarily in the suburbs if they can help it.
So does that even mean a walking or a bicycling commute to an office?
Sure, sure.
And how are you finding those properties?
Well, I mean, there are plenty. You know, if you look in Thornton Park, College Park, Colonial Town, those are all areas where if you work in the downtown area, you can walk and bike to pretty much anywhere you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider yourself a buyer's agent or a listing agent, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find, because you always haven't been involved in it, but you've been watching it, I'm sure. How have you found the rebound of real estate and investment?
So far, pretty good. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the company you work for.
So I work for Century 21, and I hung my license with Century 21 Choice Properties, which is actually in DeBary. But the reason why I chose that office is because that's the office my father is with. Hmm. And I knew that they were a good office to work with, that I'd have mentors there, that I'd have help. And that even if it's a little bit of a commute, it's worth it for the training and assistance that I would get.
I was wondering about that. We've spoken to a number of very, very established realtors in Real Prospector Radio. And something they always talk about is the training available from the broker and from the realtor. Mm-hmm. Now, I would think that Century 21, having the worldwide rank that they have, probably has a lot of information they can pass along to their agents.
Absolutely. That's something they're known for, is their training and their resources. They have something called 21 Online for their realtors, and that is just a wealth of information. It's almost overwhelming, it's so much, but there's nothing that I haven't been able to find yet that hasn't been really great, that helps me feel knowledgeable. That's the thing, they want their realtors to have knowledge and to be out there as a good realtor, not have, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the training, you sometimes would think that Century 21 would be kind of like some of the other companies that are very, you know, they're very old. They've been around for decades. They made the transition to online very quickly?
As far as I know, what they have is really, it seems like it was a smooth transition and that they've had it for quite a while.
So they've adopted the mm-hmm. new ways about doing things.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very yeah. good.
And they have that new marketing campaign that's been in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, the Smarter, Bolder, Faster. And that's, I think, really trying to show their more modern approach.
Mm-hmm. Now, you grew up in the Orlando area.
Mm-hmm.
How good is it for you? How great is it for your customers to have the knowledge you have of the Orlando area?
I think it's pretty helpful. I mean, it's great because, I mean, living here for so long, I have a huge network, and I know the areas, not just the immediate downtown Orlando, but Oviedo, Lake Mary, Sanford. I lived in Lake Mary for a while. So I feel like I do have a lot of knowledge for areas that perhaps other brokers or realtors downtown might not have. Mm-hmm. If they're newer to the area, they only know the Orlando area.
As people come in and maybe they're moving from another state, another area, are they surprised that Orlando has a vivacious downtown to where some cities have terrible downtown?
I think so. And I think a lot of people associate Orlando with just being Disney. So if it's not tourist related, they don't really have much of a thought or opinion about it. And they are surprised to see how much there is to offer that has nothing to do with the theme parks.
There is a disconnect there. There's a lot of people that would come in and not realize that we have a science center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a very nice world-class zoo very mm-hmm. close in Sanford and that sort of thing. So do you convey that material to them, that this is more than just Universal, Disney, SeaWorld?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a real city. You know, there's plenty to do. There's culture. There's history. There's not a shortage of things to do mm-hmm. with your family, even.
Well, as far as welcoming atmosphere, I'm not that familiar with what's downtown, except, you know, going down there from time to time, but I don't live anywhere near that.
Mm-hmm.
Is the downtown culture around the lake, around the whole downtown, is it very welcoming to newcomers because there's just so many people moving there?
I think so. I've found it to be a very friendly area, especially after visiting other cities. You realize that people are pretty laid back and they're used to it. They're used to Orlando being fairly transient, you know, and wanting to make a good impression and make people stay and mm-hmm. contribute and not have it just be a stopping point.
How does a wise person go from, let's say, knowing Jessica, who is our producer here in the studio today, to just to know her or any of your friends out there or anybody you just know in your sphere of influence. And so how do you make that transition from being the longtime friend to, you know, I can represent you, or if you know somebody who is into real estate, walk me through that, because I would think that would be just a little bit uncomfortable maybe.
You know, I haven't found it that uncomfortable. I've found that so many people have just been genuinely excited for me, you know, for the change. And, you know, I don't come across as pushy. You know, I certainly don't want that. And I've helped a lot of friends so far just with information, just research that I know they're not necessarily looking to buy a home now or even in the next year or two, but just trying to let them know that I'm a resource and that I'm not just here for them when they want to buy or sell.
Do you put your listings on a personal Facebook account, or do you have two Facebook accounts, or how are you working that in your life?
I have a separate realtor page, so I keep that just real estate related. And aside from just listings or homes, you know, in the area for sale, that I also try to provide just good information, just even for renters. I come across a lot of, because it is such, you know, there are so many people I know who are still renting. And I think that there are some misunderstandings about renting in the area. And I want to engage people. And I want them to let them know that I'm not just here, look at me, buy a house from me. I'm here right. to, you know, help.
But a lot of people, especially your age, and I know Jessica, and you know, she's a whirlwind at it. A lot of people are very good at taking one Facebook page or Instagram page or whatever and using it to kind of funnel people to their professional page.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it with such subtlety, you don't even know mm-hmm. that it's being done to you, but mm-hmm. you find yourself going on to, you know, Jessica, the friend page, mm-hmm. to Jessica, to Real Prospector, to Jessica, to whatever, you mm-hmm. know. And I don't know, it's almost like if you're identifying with a cat, put the cat in front of a new house.
I think so far what I've seen is not overwhelming people who have not liked my realtor page with information that is just all real estate related. There are things that I've shared from my realtor page through my personal page that I think apply to everybody, that I think everybody needs to know or should know. And I think through that, if they haven't already liked my page, maybe they'll see, well, that's some good information. What else is she sharing? And they might go and see yeah. what I have to offer.
I mean,
there.
I can see somebody in real estate. It's just like, you know, in my world of radio, I might say, had a great show today with XYZ lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
See my radio page for more information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, do you ever go as far as saying, had a wonderful day today, got a condo downtown, $150,000, more information on so-and-so realtor page?
Yes, yes. Occasionally, especially bigger milestones, you want to share that. If okay. nothing else, for a proud career moment.
Tell us about your contact information. How do people hook up with you?
Okay, well, I've been talking about my Facebook page, so I might as well mention it's just my name, facebook.com/Kristen Cremonese, KristenCremonese. My email is kcremo@gmail.com. That's the best, my preferred ways to be contacted.
Mm-hmm. And of the firm, Choice Properties, how do people get a hold of Choice Properties?
Choice Properties, they also have their own Century 21 website, and they also have their own Facebook page, facebook.com/Choice Properties.
When you first went to Choice and you said you wanted to sort of centralize downtown and the housing areas like that, they're in DeBary. These are 30, 40 miles away. Were they accepting of that?
Absolutely. I mean, especially because they knew my dad and they knew I was coming. He had told them. But they're happy that they would love to expand into the downtown area. So if I can break in there and show their name over there, that's great for them. They're happy to help.
Do people who you're talking to about a downtown property ever look at your card and go, DeBary?
Not really. I haven't seen that too much. A few people will say, oh, you know, I noticed you're into Barrie, but, you know, it's not like I need to work from an office. I work from home. I go in weekly to see my broker, go to the weekly meetings. But it doesn't seem to really bother anybody. And they know I live downtown, and I stress that, and then I know the area. So
that leads us to another question. You're living down there. How much do you promote yourself when you're downtown socializing, so people will get to know you, broaden the sphere of influence?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm out having, you know, dinner with friends and it's appropriate, I will definitely, you know, make it known. I try not to bombard people with it. But I do, I live in the Colonial Town area, and I really love that area so much. I think that's the best place to live. So I try to, like, I talk about that all the time. So people know that that's a good place to live.
When you drive through Colonial Town and you see a lot of people walking their dogs, you see them walking with their kids, you got to know it's all about, it's a wonderful place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to be a safe community.
Yep. It is. It is.
Okay. We're down to probably less than a minute. So how about your contact information one more time?
Okay. You can find me on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Kristen Cremonese. And you can reach me by email at kcremo@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us on Real Prospector. Can't wait for the people to hear that.
Thank you so much.